Welcome to Wildly Worthy, where we get intentional about money and life. I'm Nikki. I used to be insecure, anxious, feeling stuck like a victim of my circumstances until I started taking inspired action and truly believing in myself. Now I'm an international money and mindset coach, teach other women how to take charge of their finances and their lives. Each week, I'll teach you something new to get you one step closer to your dream life. You'll learn how to make friends with your money and yourself while finding gratitude and abundance all around you. It's time to start believing that you are wildly worthy of your wildest dreams. I'm so happy you're here. Let's get started. Hello, friends. Welcome back. Today, we have Christina DeFranco. She is coming on to talk to us. She's a business coach for entrepreneurs who are brand new to the first few years in their business, helping people uncover the next steps they need in order to move the needle in their business. Welcome to the show, Christina. How are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me, Nikki. I'm so excited to be on, and I'm doing fabulous today.
Yay. I would love if you would just kind of start at the beginning. Tell us how you got started in entrepreneurship, what led you to where you are now and what you're doing.
Amazing. It's always a good first question. I feel like getting to know a little bit behind the entrepreneur is always good. I think for me, it's important to always note that I was always entrepreneurial. Like I was a kid with the lemonade stand. When I was like a teen, I was babysitting for like hardcore money. Like it was good stuff. I had a summer camp that I ran out of my parents' house because we had a really big backyard. So like I would have parents, like when I was 13, I have parents bring their kids to our house. They would sign a contract. They would pay me. And like, I would host a whole summer camp with my sister and just us, like with tons of kids. And it was just like, I've always been entrepreneurial. So there's always been that little fire in me. And even throughout high school, I didn't get like a typical job. Like, you know, some people work retail or fast food in high school. I started a tutoring business, like a full-on business. My mom, my sister did it too. And so I tutored kids. And again, like making much more income than we would at fast food or something. So I've always kind of had that in me, that desire to like find financial freedom and save and really take life into my own hands, so to speak, and really be in control. I guess that's a big factor of my type A personality. And so I kind of fell into the trap that I think a lot of people do of following society, right? Of go to school. When you graduate high school, go to university. We call it university here in States, it's college. And then after school, once you get your degree, go into corporate or find a job or whatever it may be. And so I very much went down that route. I got an athletic scholarship to university. So I was like, okay, well, now I kind of have to go, like, might as well. And so I ended up going and I got my degree. And after my degree, I ended up going to med school. And so I went to med school and dropped out just early in the second semester of the first year, because they actually said to me, if you want to continue your entrepreneurial things, because I was doing things on the side, you can't continue here. They're like, you need to focus. You need to study. I was at a private school for my medical studies. And it was like, if you want to keep doing that, you can't be here. And so I thought about it and I was like, wow, like that's crazy. Like I was coming home from crazy long days studying at school. And then all that would make me happy was creating content or doing something that regarded the businesses. And so I couldn't see myself without that because that's where I was the happiest. Mm-hmm. And so I was in the middle of maybe like a week later, I was in the middle of a biology exam and I broke down crying. I went to the bathroom, I came back and I handed the proctor, who was the people that were assessing the test, I handed them the test. She goes, you didn't finish. Like you're only halfway done. I said, I'm done. I cleaned out my locker. I walked out of the school and never went back. And I knew in my heart that I was happiest doing my businesses. And it was funny because a lot of people were like, oh, like you must've been making a lot of money at that point. Then I was making hardly any money. I wasn't successful. I didn't have established businesses. I hadn't even tried to have established businesses yet. I was just kind of doing side hustles because I was really young. Like, I didn't even know really what true entrepreneurship and making a living as an entrepreneur really was. But I just knew it's what was meant for me, even if I didn't know what I was doing yet. And so I left med school, and 2 months later, the pandemic hit. And that was crazy. And that's kind of what kicked my butt into gear and said, okay, you're launching your business. And so I launched two. I launched a virtual wellness studio. And then I launched a brand design and web design agency, which is now pivoted into more of a business coaching and consulting company, because that's what my clients really wanted and needed. And it's always good to listen to the market. So now I am working full time in both my businesses, but until it could support me, I had got a retail job right out of the pandemic. And then most things closed down, so I didn't work the retail job very long before the world closed. And so then my businesses got up and running before the world did. So I was lucky that I didn't have to go back to my job. I could just stay in the businesses. So that's a little bit of a backstory of where I got to how I am today.
That is so cool. So I wrote down a couple questions while you were talking, but I'm just curious. You say you were like entrepreneurial from a young age. Were your parents kind of like that? Did you see that from them or other like family members? Like what brought that on? Or is that just like intrinsically motivated?
Yeah, that's a great question. I love that question because I think it really speaks to my story. So both my parents are actually entrepreneurial in their own way. So my dad has a real entrepreneurial mind. He actually started a brick and mortar business when I was quite young, like maybe 6 or 7, and it actually went under. He was completely bankrupt. And because of that, we lost almost all the money we had. And so he had no other choice but to go get a 9-to-5 regular job because he had 2 young girls that he had to support. So if not for us being young children, I think he would have had more entrepreneurial endeavors. He really had that mindset. And I always say to him, I really believe if he had the access to the resources and the opportunities I do with technology now, he would have been a phenomenal entrepreneur. And so I think I get a lot of that from him. And then also my mom, in a less traditional sense, is a teacher. She's a school teacher. But when my dad's business went bankrupt, we needed to make extra income so that I could play sports and keep our house and all of those things. So that's when my mom started the tutoring business. So after teaching a full day, she would come home and tutor 4, 5, 6 kids in a row after a full day of teaching. And that business, it wasn't really a business. Like, she didn't really know what she was doing at the time about it, but it was a business when you look back at it. And it was very, very successful. And then my sister and I joined the so-called business. Again, it wasn't fully established. We didn't really know what we were doing at the time, but it became very successful and allowed us to make really good income, my sister and I as teenagers, and my mom to support us as we were young all the way up until we were grown adults. So I think they both are entrepreneurial in their own way. And that really contributes to the way I am today, for sure.
I love it. I mean, even though you say like it wasn't real business, but it was like your mom, she saw a need, right? I'm sure at school, like from a former teacher, you see a need. These kids need more time, more help, more one-on-one. And she's like, oh, I can do that. And I can make more money.
Yeah, exactly. And it's amazing because I'm sure, as you know, like it's exhausting being a teacher. First of all, the yes. work never stops even after the school day ends. So she would even have to mark things after all those tutoring, but just like she taught young kids, like 6, 7-year-olds. So to come home after a full day of that and then teach more kids, like it was a real hustle. And I didn't know that at the time, but like how incredible. And so that really contributed to my work ethic, my hustle, my entrepreneurial tendencies that I have today, subconsciously. I didn't know it at the time, but looking back, like, it's really interesting how they both really played a big role.
Yeah, I love that so much. And I think you said you started 2 businesses out of med school. So talk a little bit about that. Like, why did you decide I'm going to do both of these instead of just saying, okay, I'm going to work on one and until it gets done, and then I'm going to do something else. What What kind of inspired that?
Yeah, it's funny because I really encourage people to start one business. I don't encourage people to start two, but for myself, I'm a really multi-passionate person overall. And that's why I've had many different entrepreneurial side hustles and things as I was going along. But my first business, a virtual wellness studio, that was kind of the business that I had building in the background all through university and into med school. So I was probably teaching at like 8 different studios. Like I was building a client base by teaching privates and teaching like yoga in the park. And I had an email list. Like I was doing all the things. I just didn't have a studio or like a main offer because I never really thought I would. Like I didn't see that for myself. And then the pandemic hit. And when the pandemic hit, I had all of these students with a lot of studios that they belonged to that didn't transition online. And so they had no access to yoga, no access to movement. And my core demographic is 50 to 90 plus years old. And so they were so isolated, lonely, their mental health was deteriorating. So I said, okay, like I'm not teaching anyways because the studio is closed. So I'll teach some free classes on Zoom. I taught free classes about 6 days a week for maybe 3 or so months. And all of my students that didn't have a studio anymore because we were online came and took the classes. And then when the first wave of the pandemic was kind of over and we went back in person for a little bit, I said, okay, I'm going to keep going. Like there was a lot of people that were still scared to go back in person and they loved what we were doing in the community we were building. So I said, okay, but like, I have to charge you because otherwise I have to go back to work and I can't six days a week. Like, so you guys,
I need to live here.
Yeah. You guys have to pay a little bit if I can keep doing this because the world's reopening, right? It was fun when we were all in our rooms doing nothing, but now like I got to live. So in saying that, that kind of started and I did that for almost like a year because it wasn't until October of 2021 that I said, okay, it's a studio. I branded it and I put a name and I put a website. Before that, I had nothing. Like I was making money and it was technically a business, but we didn't have any branding. We didn't have a website. It wasn't very real. And so in October, I was like, okay, we've been doing this for a while. I actually hired contractors, which are other teachers, to teach at the studio. That wasn't really a studio as well. And so it quickly turned into something very real and thriving as a business. So that one, that's the one I was nurturing that I had built, that I had spent cultivating for like 4 years. It's not the one that happened overnight. But then my second company I launched at the same time was basically the premise behind it or why I wanted to do it was that I had spent 4 years doing freelance design and websites. And I had built all of my websites and all of these things. And I said, I know so many people that want to start online businesses now because of the pandemic that don't know these skills. They don't know how to start on social media. They don't know how to build a website. They don't know what a color scheme is. And so I was like, let me just help them. It was more so as kind of like a side business in a sense, like it's a full-blown business now, but it was more so the intention of just like creating something where I could give people the tools they needed that I had already learned, that I had already gone through the past 5 years. And that's why I really work with new to like 3 years in business entrepreneurs, because I've been through the tough stuff. And I really think where I am today, I could have got to a lot faster if I had have known some of the things that I know now. So because of that, it was kind of like just my mission. It was more of a mission-led business to just really help people that wanted to start something online, that saw the gap and wanted to help others. So that's why I went with both, but I recommend one.
Yes, definitely easier to manage, but I think you had the background and, you know, like you said, you were already really nurturing the other one. It sounds like it grew out of like an in-person
very much
practice, or like, you know, just teaching. I used to teach workout classes, not yoga, but so I can totally see that happening. Oh my gosh, I had something and I completely lost it. Give me just a minute.
It went into space. Yeah, the first business was just very organic, you know, like it kind of fell in my lap when the pandemic hit. And I was just trying to help people by offering a place to come to like, practice yoga, meet with people, don't be in your house all by yourself forever. Even though it's virtual, there's still an aspect of community. And it was very organic. And then the second business I just kind of threw in there because it was important to me. So now they're both just full-fledged businesses, and this is what I do full-time, so that's fun.
I love that you keep saying, like, you wanted to help. Like, I feel like both of these businesses came out of wanting to help other people. And you seeing, okay, I can help you do this. And I know that you're, like you said, we said at the beginning, but your second business, the graphic design website, has really kind of transformed into more of like business coaching. So can you talk a little bit about that? Like, what was that? I don't want to use the word transformation again, but like, what was that evolving like in the business, and what made you take that turn?
Yeah. So I launched the company Soti Branding, which was my former name, on January 1st of 2021. And originally I was really focused on web design, branding, and social media management. What I saw as the clients came to me and they said, oh, I need a website. Oh, I need this. They were really asking me questions about building a business. Okay. It's like, what should I write? Like, how do I position this? Or they would ask, they send me an email like, this person just DM'd me this question. Like, what should I say? Like, how should I respond? Or like, it was really like, what is the best marketing strategy for me right now where I am? And I'm like, that was so outside of the scope of what I was doing. But because I had done it with my first business, I knew the answers. So I would just write them back and I would give them suggestions. And I would say, okay, you need to do this, or you should be launching a podcast right now. That's where your target market is. And I would give them different suggestions. I'd say, okay, you're just starting out. You don't need a whole website. You need a landing page. That's where you should focus your little funds that you have, right? And how do we allocate little funds when we're new in business? Like, what does that look like? And so I would really help them figure out which strategy would get them to the next step that would move the needle in their business. Like, let's put one foot in front of the other. What's the next step? Okay, once you've done that step and you've generated some income, come back to me, reinvest, and then we'll find the next step. And that builds a gradual process that allows you to then have an income generating business. And so when I realized that, I said, I'm just business coaching. That's really what I'm doing. And then sometimes I would throw in a website here or there. But I was like, when you really think about it, I was like, I was coaching. And so I was consulting, I was strategizing, whatever you want to call it, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, I'm just going to pivot into that being the forefront of my business. When you think about business, if you have too many offers, people get confused, and confused consumers never convert into sales. So essentially, I put the coaching offer out first, and we still do design. Like, if you come to me and what I really feel you need as a website, then that's the discussion we have. And maybe I build your website. But it was no longer the first thing I wanted to be doing. I wanted to address your business goals, your business needs, because without that clarity, a website, your branding, a pretty color scheme, whatever, it's not going to fix your business. It's not going to fix the problems you're experiencing. It was really the strategy that needed to come first, as well as the clarity. And so that's what I focus on now. And then my broader mission, because again, this is a very mission-led business. I didn't really start this business to just make money. It was really like, I wish I had have known these things when I started. So I'm going to be that person now. Mm-hmm. And so my goal is to build out a whole hub. Like, these are DIY templates of captions and copywriting and how to do this on social media and how to videos and how to start and really start to build up a bank of resources. So if you're a new entrepreneur and you're trying to learn how to do something, or you're looking for that next step, I'm hoping to build out a massive resource center where people can just come and learn and talk amongst themselves as well. So that's kind of the goal and the mission of what I'm building out and trying to create in this space. But yeah, it's been a shift. It's been an evolution. It's been a transformation, all of the buzzwords, but for the better. And it's been really well received. And I think a lot of my clients were like, yeah, this is what you should have called yourself the first time. And I was like, yep, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I love that. I love that it seems like everything you've done has happened so organically. Mm-hmm. I just love that for you.
I love that for me too, Nikki.
I love that for you. I've been like reading up and studying a lot of human design recently. I was going to talk about it, but I don't know enough about it to talk about it. So I'm just wondering if it's something, you know what I mean? Something there. But I would be interested. If anybody's listening and you know about human design, let us know what that is.
We're interested. We want to know. Share with us. Hit us up on Instagram.
Okay, so let's talk about if someone is new at business. You know, you had a lot of people coming to you saying, I need a website, I need a landing page, or like maybe they didn't even know what they needed, right?
Yeah.
Where's the first place that, you know, that you feel like somebody should start investing? Is it a website? Is it a coach? Let's go from there.
I think it depends on your industry. So I work a lot with service-based businesses. And I think for that specifically, or just really humans in general, my first place to recommend investment is yourself. Mm-hmm. Whether that be a coach, whether it be a training, whether it be a certification, whether it be learning a software or perfecting your skill, like your craft, whatever it is that you do, there's no greater investment than you. If you believe in you, if you take the time to evolve within yourself, it's only going to come back and repay you tenfold. No one can take away the knowledge that you put in yourself. And so I always say, regardless, it's you. And what that means to you can be different. So for me, like, I've invested in many masterminds, many coaches, many courses. As a yoga teacher, I do tons of training, tons of continued education courses. So it can look different what that investment is, but it's all in you. Like, the investment is in you. So that's always my number one place. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully through that, you get clarity, you get guidance, and that helps you find the next step. I talk about being a next step coach because I think overwhelm is so real, and information overload in an entrepreneurial space and context is really real. I think you are thrown so much information when you try to learn the entrepreneurial world and marketing and social media and all of the things, that it's so scary and anxiety producing. And so in that sense, I think finding clarity through investing in yourself is so crucial. And then I like to talk about, you need a home on the internet. So social media, you don't own it. I hate to tell you, it could go away tomorrow.
Yeah.
You're on every platform. It literally could disappear tomorrow, and all of the work you've done is just non-existent. So, whether it's a landing page or a website, I always recommend for new entrepreneurs, just start with a single page, like, mm-hmm. just something that's about you, that you own, that's not going to disappear tomorrow. Ideally someplace that people can leave their email address so that you again have their contact information if everything were to disappear. And then lastly is legalization. If you're doing anything, you need to be protected. I'm not the person to come to. I will refer you to someone else. I know nothing about legal stuff, but I've always been really mindful. As I mentioned, when I ran that summer camp, when we were like 14, we had a contract and the parents signed it. I think my sister took a contract template off Google and printed it and they signed that. But like, it's a really important piece, is that you need to protect yourself, especially if you like own assets, like if you own a house or if you own a car or anything, you need to protect yourself. So I always say that's a really important thing to invest in as well.
Yes. We talk about that with money too, because when you are mixing, and like, you could lose everything from either side, like if something happens personal or something happens business. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's super important to have those separated and like a clear line.
Yeah.
Something you said really struck me is like being a next step coach, mm-hmm. and just going to the next step. I feel like so often in entrepreneurship, in the business owner world, like, we're just thrown, you need this, you need this, you need this, you need this, I can give you this. And it can be a little bit overwhelming. I'm trying to think how I want to go with that. But I know when I first started, like, I was just downloading freebies from everywhere, you know, one coach said, well, you need an email list. And another coach said, no, you need Pinterest. And then another coach said, no, you need this. I would be like, I don't even know. And then like overwhelm would overwhelm me and I would just do nothing.
Exactly. It's paralyzing when we become overwhelmed from an overload of information. And I think that's a common mistake, especially people who resonate when I say I'm a multi-passionate entrepreneur. It means you like a lot of different things. And maybe you're good at a lot of different things too. And so we're even more prone to that because we want to do everything and anything. And what I encourage people to do is instead of going wide, when you go wide, you're doing a bunch of things. So you're doing Pinterest, you're doing Instagram, you're doing email marketing, you're doing all of this. Instead of going wide, go deep. Can you find one or two things that you can focus on that you can put all of your energy into and solidifying those first before you go a little wider? I think a lot of people go wide and narrow. We need to go deep. What is one thing that you can throw yourself into first? So for me, I recommend pick one, or for people, I recommend pick one social platform. Where's your target audience? What can you show up on? Stay there. And then once you're doing that consistently, what's our next step? Okay, create a landing page where people, maybe a freebie ideally, that people can put in their email address. So you start to build contacts. Okay, we've done that. We're still going deep. What's the next step? Okay, next step, we're going to start email marketing consistently. So I'm going to send a weekly email with value, right? What is the next step? And going very slowly and going deep as opposed to wide, trying to do everything at once, very what I consider thin, meaning not giving a lot of energy, not giving a lot of time, not giving a lot of depth to what you're actually doing. And if you do a lot of things, there's a lot of things that are going to get done, but not very well. So what can we do really, really well, solidify that, and then take the next step? And I think that not only feels better for us as humans who cannot do everything, that are not perfect, but it also makes more sense to consumers who are receiving your information. People are like, well, if you're not everywhere, not everyone will see you. I don't want everyone to see me. I'm trying to impact one life at a time. And as I can do that, they will tell more people and more people will find me. And then I can graduate to different platforms and spreading my message more widespread. But I don't need to wake up tomorrow and try to be on five platforms and be the biggest voice in the world. Because if you grow that fast, you're not going to be able to create an actual impact anyways, because you're going to be too overwhelmed because you're not ready for it. So we need to be ready as well.
Okay. The imagery of deep versus wide. I've never heard that before. Love it.
It's something that really sticks to me.
Yeah. Like I was like, yes, that's it. Yes.
Yes. We're here for it.
Yes. And like going to all the platforms and just going to one. And I will say for me, like I used to be like, I need to be on Facebook. I need to be on Pinterest. I need to be on YouTube. I'm terrible at YouTube and Pinterest, just so you guys know. And Facebook now. And like my only platform is Instagram and the podcast. And I'm getting more clients that way because I'm not spread. So then trying to be everyone to everybody, because people on different platforms are different and they go there for different reasons. Like that, you know, TikTok is the new thing. And like TikTok, people don't go to TikTok for the same reason they go to Instagram. Like they're looking for different things, and you have to create all this different content and be different kind of people or different kind of marketers, business owners. But I also,
people are ruthless. I've had clients that like their only platform is Instagram, and like that's their thing. And they're like, well, Reels are doing really well, so I should start making TikToks. And they go to TikTok and you just get cut to pieces in the comment section of TikTok. Those people, ruthless compared to Instagram. And it's really important to know that as a human. Like we talk about human design, which we're not going to talk about, but when you think about who you are as a person, and if you know your human design, right? Like that's really hard for a lot of people. Like, these are things you have to mentally prepare for, especially when you're putting yourself out there online. And it's not to scare you. It's to understand that, like I said, you need to be ready. If we try to do everything and we do it too quickly and we sprint, you're going to burn out before you reach the finish line. It's a marathon, people. There are sprints within the marathon, but it's really a marathon. And I need people to understand that. And there's little checkpoints along the way. Maybe they're going to hand you a water and you try out TikTok and you're good. But it's like, you have to take it slow. And people want overnight success. And it's not the truth of entrepreneurship, at least from my perspective.
Yeah. The overnight success, like going viral, that is when those cutthroat, that's when you're shown to so many people, not, and all these people are not your people, right? So they're like, they don't understand what you're doing. Agreed. Yeah, I feel that way about YouTube, and I think that's part of the reason I've stayed away from YouTube is I'm scared of the YouTube commenters.
Yeah, some YouTube trolls out there for sure.
I'm like, I can't handle that, so I'm just gonna stay away from there. Oh my gosh. Okay. I want to talk about impact because I noticed you said that, and you know, how can we use, or why should we use, like, impact and income as markers of our success? Because sometimes the income doesn't come right away.
Yeah.
So how can we look to other drivers?
Yeah. So I created a coaching philosophy that's called deep work plus impact driven equals aligned action. So the idea behind that is, if you do the deep work to understand yourself, what are you trying to do with this business? What are you trying to create? Is there a legacy component to it? Is there a financial freedom? Like, what are you looking for? What is the deep work? And getting really clear on who you want to help, who you want to serve, what does the business look like? Plus, impact driven, meaning you're trying to create an impact. You're positively impacting others, equals aligned action, where we feel that we can execute and we're our most creative selves and we're just living in the best energy that attracts the people that are meant to be with us, that are meant to be our clients, that are going to hand over that money because they feel aligned with what we're creating. And so I think the things you see the most common markers of success are income and follower count. We're very self-centered kind of society. Vanity metrics, that's what it is. And as well with income, right? There's not that much transparency, more so now than ever before, but still very little as a whole with income transparency. So I think a lot of people think some entrepreneurs are making much more money than they are because there is no income transparency. And so we associate high follower count with income and good sales, even if sometimes they have no engagement, which usually means no sales. So I think it's really important to start to look at yourself and say, what am I really trying to do? For me, I've always followed the belief that if I can help one person. So if one person comes on your Instagram live, that is a success for you. If I can impact one person positively to change their view about how they see something with my post, then that's a success for me. And I think getting clear for you on what success means is important. I think from a financial standpoint, this is so interesting because success, there's no real definition. Success is however you define it as an individual. So when we look at words like financial freedom or being successful, I don't want you to say like your goal in life is to be successful. Can you define that for me? Like, what does that mean? For me, because I grew up in a situation where we didn't have a lot of money, my goal has always been to be able to walk into a grocery store and not look at a single price tag and buy whatever I want. Because I remember being a kid and having to calculate the costs in my head before I got to the checkout. So for my life, success is being able to walk into a grocery store, buy whatever I want, even if it's a really expensive grocery store in my area, buy all the most holistic organic things and not have to think about it for a second. That's going to look really different for other people. If someone grew up wealthy, your definition of success may be buying a Ferrari or buying a BMW. That's not wrong. It's not a wrong definition of success, but it's different than mine. And I think when you build a business, especially from the ground up, really identifying your markers of success is really important, because otherwise everything starts to feel a little bit like a failure. because it can be so hard and there's so many ups and downs. So when we take that away from a financial context and really into business, doing the same thing, like what are your markers of success in your business? Is it one client? Is it one new subscriber on your email list? Is it one great testimonial or one person that sends you a nice email, a nice DM, or a nice comment? Like, what are your markers of success? And the clearer you can get around that, the happier you will be in your business as the seasons shift from high to low. And so clarity, it just comes down to clarity. Sum it up, clarity.
Yes, that is so beautiful. I could not have said that better. And PS, when I was in college, I took a calculator to the grocery store with me. So to make sure that I was not spending over. My gosh.
It's very real, right? It's so real. But if someone didn't have that experience, their definition of success would look really different. And that's not wrong. It's okay. But you need to know it for yourself. And that's why I say like the deep work is so important, because without these answers, you're just shooting in the dark. Like, what are your markers? Just income? I hate to break to you, it's going to be really hard. You're going to be sad.
I agree. Well, I want to say thank you so much for coming on. This has been so good. I cannot wait to share it with everybody in the world that listens to my podcast. Can you tell everyone where they can find you, where they can listen to you, and all that good stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So my main Instagram, just as a general entrepreneur, is @Christina.DeFranco. And then from there, I have my two businesses linked, so you can just find them there. But the first business is Rooted Tree Wellness Studio. And my second business is Coach Christina Maria. I also have an amazing podcast, which Nikki was just on. So her episode will be coming out shortly that you can listen to. But it's called the If Only Entrepreneurs Podcast. And we talk about all things brand new entrepreneurship so that you don't have to say, if only I had have known that, if only someone had have told me earlier. But instead, you'll be successful in your own definition of in your business.
Yes. Thank you. Everybody go check out that podcast. It's so good. You don't want to waste time like we have done. Learn from those who went before
you. Exactly. The years we have wasted trying to learn things.
Awesome.
Once again, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love to hear from you. Reach out to me on Instagram @wildly_worthy. You can tag me in your stories or send me a DM. Also, I'd love it if you could leave us a rate or review and subscribe if you're not already doing so. Can't wait to see you next time. Bye.